Well, good evening.
Evening.
We're so glad you're here. Welcome to those who are visiting for the first time or the first time in a long time. We're glad you're here with us. I want to say one more time thank you to our choir and those involved in the cantata acting. I greatly appreciate all the efforts and practice that you have put into it. And just remember, as human beings, none of us are perfect. So overlook any mistakes. Most of them are probably made by me. But we do appreciate you being here in support for our program tonight. Looking forward to that. Just a short program. What we're going to try to do tonight here in just a moment, have a word of prayer. We'll have one congregational chorus and a fellowship time. Then we'll go right into the cantata. After the cantata, I'll come back and make some remarks from Scripture. And then we'll have a few announcements, take up an offering. We would not be a Baptist church if we didn't take up an offering, as we normally do on Sunday night. And then after that, we'll also be dismissed. And want to encourage you, invite you to join us over at the Fellowship Hall for a cookie fellowship afterwards. We'd enjoy it. Even if you only can spend 5 or 10 minutes, please come by. For nothing else, come see our new remodeled Fellowship Hall. We got a little bit of crown molding to add. Other than that, it's finished. And we invite you to join us after the service for that. So we'll have a word of prayer, and then Brother Cherry will come and lead us in this song. So it's good. If you're able, physically stand with me, and then we'll remain standing because we're going to sing a song, and then you'll be seated for a little while. So give you a chance to stretch your legs before you sit down again for the next 30 or so minutes. Father, we love you, and thank you so much for the privilege of being here. Thank you for the beautiful facilities you've given us and for the friends that have come to join us tonight. I pray that we'd be a blessing, a source of encouragement to them. And Lord, I pray, Lord, is anyone here today that doesn't know you as Savior, that does not have a personal relationship with you, that tonight the Spirit of God would speak to their heart and show them their need, they'd be willing to do that. Now, Father, bless us, believe with those in the choir, our actors, encourage, strengthen them, Lord, and help them, Lord, as they prepare tonight to minister to those that are here. In Jesus' name, amen.
See the large no soliciting sign in front of the neighborhood?
Yes, sir, I did. But unfortunately, I have no idea what that means. But I will definitely keep an eye out for some shady characters.
Young lady, panhandling is a misdemeanor, or at least it should be. So If you will kindly take all of this junk off of my porch immediately, I may decide not to call the police.
Well, a simple no thank you would have sufficed. I'm sorry if I'm being too persistent. My teachers tell me it's both endearing and trying.
Yeah, well, I can definitely see that. Norma, I need a nerve pill. This child is aggravating me.
Who's Norma?
She's my caretaker, if it's any of your business. Norma!
I'm so sorry to have bothered you. Here, take this candy cane. On the house.
Young lady, I don't want any Christmas junk from you. Did you not happen to notice that my house is the only house in the entire block that doesn't have any Christmas decorations?
I thought maybe you hadn't gotten around to decorating.
Well, you thought wrong. I don't celebrate Christmas. Christmas is a holiday for the superstitious and simple-minded people. The only thing worse than Christmas is Easter.
I love Easter!
Shocking. What a poor excuse for parenting. What kind of school has children peddle Christmas goods as a fundraiser anyway?
My school, Shady Mountain Christian School. It's a great school.
Ah, I see. That explains everything. You've been brainwashed, you poor child.
Dr. Fitz, didn't you want your pill?
Listen to me, kid. You ignore anything they tell you at that school. You've been taught nothing but lies and foolishness.
Dr. Fitz!
Coming, Norma. Now remember what I said. You ignore anything you hear from that school, especially anything about Christmas or Jesus.
Charity Walker. I live just down the street at 201.
Yeah, I know who you are. You're the one who left cookies on my porch when you moved in.
Oh, yes. I guess I did.
Well, I'm diabetic, so I would appreciate it if you didn't leave any poisonous things on my doorstep. Also, that junk mail about the summer cookout and the fall festival at some church, that belongs in the trash bin, not on my doorstep.
I'm sorry about the cookies. I had no idea you were diabetic.
Well, so you didn't. Well, What do you want now?
Oh, yes. My daughter, Lizzie. She was here a few minutes ago selling Christmas stuff for the...
Yes, I vividly remember. What of it?
Well, she seems to think that you told her not to listen to anything her teacher said. I'm sure she must have been mistaken, but she seemed very confused.
I most certainly did tell her to ignore any brainwashing dribble spoon-fed to her at that poor excuse for a school. You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Why, sir, I must say I'm absolutely shocked. I thought for sure Lizzie had misunderstood what you were saying. I understand you may not agree with our beliefs, but I would appreciate it if you wouldn't tell my little girl not to listen to her teachers at school.
Well, I would appreciate it if you didn't let your little girl trespass on my property and panhandle worthless junk, like some vagabond on my front porch.
I tried telling him that it's not junk, Mom. I even showed him the tie.
Norma, I need another pill. The child is back.
Look, Mr.
Fitz. It's Dr. Fitz.
Dr. Fitz, I am so sorry for bothering you. We will make sure not to bother you in the future with anything.
Good. I'm an old and sick man who isn't going to live much longer, and I would just like to have a few days of peace.
I'm sorry to hear that, Dr. Fitz. I will be praying for you. Please let me know if there's anything that we can do for you.
Yes, there is definitely something you can do. Don't pray for me. And take that child out of that crazy school. She's a bright one and has a lot of potential.
See, Mom, I told you he kind of likes me. He just looks like a mean old man on the outside.
I didn't spend 40 years educating students in molecular biology to stand silently by while children are taught superstition.
Well, I don't think I can do either of those things, Dr. Fitz. I'm going to pray that God brings true peace to your soul, peace that only comes from the gospel.
I'm going to pray too, Mr. Dr. Fitz.
Norma, bring me two pills this time. Norma!
Mr. Dr. Fitz, do you want to come to my Christmas play?
Oh, no, Lizzie. He does not want to.
I'm going to be the star of the play at the top of the manger. And I'm going to sing a beautiful song about Jesus.
Norma!
I'm coming, Dr. Fitz.
What took you so long? I may keel over any minute, and no one seems to care.
I'm so sorry, Dr. Fitz. I've been on the phone with my son-in-law. My daughter's going to have her baby any moment.
Oh, congratulations, Norma.
I have to fly to Miami tonight.
What? Miami? What am I supposed to do?
I'm so sorry, Dr. Fitz. I can call the agency and have someone else sent over as soon as they're available, but it is the holidays.
Well, that's just great. I most likely am going to die any minute, and I'm not even going to have anyone here to give me my last few pain pills before I die.
Oh, Dr. Fitz, it's not that bad at all.
Mr. Fitz, I have a great idea. My sister Sarah, she's a nurse.
Well, she's in college to become a nurse, Lizzie.
She and I can come over and babysit you.
I don't need a babysitter. I just need someone to come and watch me die.
Oh, well, in that case, maybe she can just come.
What a great idea. Dr. Fitz really just needs someone to pop him a pill every now and then. I'm sure your daughter would be well qualified for that. I can just check it with the agency.
I don't know. I mean, is that okay with you, Dr. Fitz?
Please, 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 Dr. Fitz. I'll make you cookies, and I'll even help you decorate.
Well, it doesn't seem I have much choice now, do I?
No, it doesn't.
Fine. On one condition. No Christmas.
Very gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Comfort and joy.
You carolers, get off my property. Lizzie, did you tell them to trespass on my property?
I thought you needed some Christmas spirit.
And what are you doing now?
Mommy said not to bring too many decorations over because she doesn't really think you want them. But I think you would love them. Oh, Sarah, the tree looks beautiful. Don't you think so, Mr. Fitz?
Huh.
Mr. Fitz, do you have any grandchildren?
No, I don't.
Do you think I can adopt you as my grandfather? I never knew my grandparents, and I always wanted one.
I don't think that's exactly how it works. Now, wait just a moment. What is that in your hand?
It's a shepherd.
I told you, you could bring a few decorations over as long as none of them were religious.
But, Mr. Fitz, that's impossible. Jesus' birth is the whole reason for Christmas. It wouldn't even be a holiday without it.
A deal's a deal. None of that nonsense in my house.
Oh, Mr. Fitz, don't be such a Scrooge. Or I guess in the Christmas story, you would be Herod.
Who?
Never mind.
Lizzie, why don't you sit down? You look a little flushed.
I'm okay, Sarah. I know you don't want Jesus in your heart right now, but I sure hope that one day you'll let him in your heart.
I don't even know what that means.
I know you don't, but you will.
Searching for shelter.
child. She's just as pushy and as excitable as you were. Being around her makes me miss you so much. Oh, and she talks about Jesus all the time. I knew you would get a kick out of that. Maggie, I just feel so alone all the time.
Oh, hey, Mr. Fitz. How are you feeling today? You look great.
Good afternoon, Lizzie. I'm feeling achy and miserable.
Well, I know what'll fix that. I brought you Christmas music.
Sarah, you might as well bring me a pill now.
Who's Maggie?
What?
I heard you talking to Maggie, but I didn't see anybody.
Maggie is my wife. She passed away a little over a year ago, and I occasionally talk to her without realizing it, I guess.
Oh, is it kind of like praying?
No, it most certainly is not.
I wish I could have met her, Mr. Fitz. I know I would have liked her.
I think she would have liked you, too.
Did you say you needed a pill, Dr. Fitz? Oh, Lizzie, how are you doing?
I'm great, not achy or miserable or anything.
Well, I feel just awful. And I need my pills, Sarah.
I'll get a pill for you right away, Dr. Fitz.
Well, it seems like you don't really care about me. So, you left this here the other day.
Oh, that's where the lost shepherd went.
I've been trying to remember. What did the shepherds have to do with the baby Jesus anyway? Didn't they take the baby to a stable or something like that?
No, no, no. They didn't take the baby Jesus. They found him.
But why were they looking for him?
Because they had heard their entire lives that a Messiah was coming who was going to set his people free. And then, one night, while they were sitting out in the field, an angel appeared in the sky. He told the shepherds that the Messiah had been born that very night. Well, naturally, they got really scared seeing a big angel floating in the sky. But then the angel invited them to come see Jesus and worship him.
But if he was the great Messiah of the Jews, why would the angels bother telling random shepherds? Why wouldn't they tell important people, or why didn't they tell everyone for that matter?
There were kings that got to come see Jesus too, but the shepherds got to see him first. My teacher said that's just the way God is. He isn't a respecter of persons, and Jesus wasn't just for the rich or the religious. He came to die on the cross for everyone, and anyone who believes in him can have eternal life. story, Mr. Fitz. It really happened.
Well, I can tell that you certainly believe that it happened. How about you tell me the story, but this time, leave out all the parts that are make-believe, like the miracles and the angels and all that stuff.
I can see we still have a long way to go. You know, Mr. Fitz, even old people, like yourself, can become Christians. All you have to do is repent of your sins and accept Jesus as your personal savior.
You know, your Jesus has plenty of old people without adding me to the list.
I'm sorry, Dr. Fitz, I can't find your medicine. Do you remember where you put it last?
Of course not. I'm old. I lose everything. You're the young one. I'm sure that you'll find it, but hurry up. I feel awful.
Mr. Fitz, will you come to my Christmas play tonight at school? Won't you, please?
Lizzie, you ask me this every day, and I give you the same answer.
Oh, but I know you would like it. I'm going to be the star of the show.
Oh, are you playing the baby Jesus?
No. We're using a baby doll for the baby Jesus.
Lizzie's playing the actual star. You know, the Bethlehem star.
I get to stand on top of the stable and sing the star song.
Huh. Well, that does sound entertaining. Sarah, did you find my pills yet?
Yes, they're right here. Lizzie, what's wrong? Are you feeling tired?
I'm just sleepy. That's all.
For someone who's here to take care of me, you sure don't spend very much time doing it.
I'm sorry, Dr. Fitz. It's just...
I've been asking for my pills over and over again.
I'm sorry, Dr. Fitz. Here's your pill, but you know you're not the only person with problems.
No, I'm just the one who's dying.
If you only knew the truth, you would...
Sarah, let's go. We have things to do for the concert. Goodbye, Mr. Fitz. I hope you feel better. I pray for you every night.
Bye, Dr. Fitz. I'll be in tomorrow morning.
Goodbye, girls, and good luck tonight, Lizzie.
I'll look for you in the audience. I'll be the one in the star costume.
A star costume? Who ever heard of such? Huh. What did she write on the CD? Christmas music. Should help answer your questions. Huh. I wonder what's on here.
Child is this who lays to rest on Mary's lap in sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping. Great.
found my way to the illustrious Christmas program.
You sure have. Welcome to the Shady Mountain Christian School Christmas play.
Is everyone here always so perky?
It's just about to start. Is your grandchild in the play?
Well, not exactly, but kind of.
Well, hurry on and get a seat. We're just about to start.
I actually need a seat near an exit, and preferably away from any drafts. And I hope that there's no strobe lighting. She was supposed to be the star on top of the stable, but I don't see her anywhere.
Oh, I'm sorry to tell you this, but Lizzie had another episode earlier this afternoon. She wasn't able to make it.
What? What kind of episode? What are you talking about?
You didn't know? She's at the hospital and she's very ill.
What?
She isn't able to come to school very often. And although we wanted her to be in the play, she just wasn't able to make it.
No, that can't be right. It must be somebody else.
I'm so sorry.
I spent most of my life denying myself. my prayer. Please don't let this little girl die.
I'm not dying, Mr. Fitz. I was just taking a nap.
Oh, Lizzie, you're awake.
Careful, Mr. Fitz. The doctor stuck all these wires in me again.
I'm sorry. I'm just so happy that you're all right.
You were just praying, Mr. Fitz.
Well, yes, Lizzie, I was. After a long life of running from God, I think I finally wanted to accept him.
Mr. Fitz, that's the most wonderful news I think I've ever heard. Oh, Mommy, did you hear? Mr. Fitz trusted Christ.
Oh, Dr. Fitz, that's wonderful. Praise the Lord.
You know, I never told you this, but my wife was a believer.
Really?
Yes, she visited a church with friends of hers several years ago and came home announcing that she was a Christian. It made me so mad. I was awful to her. I was awful about her faith. I just couldn't understand why she would believe in a God who made her so sick and then took her from me.
I understand. I've struggled with some of those same thoughts the past few years since Lizzie got sick. I always remember that God is good no matter what I may think or feel, though. His way is best, even if I wouldn't have chosen it for myself.
I just wish that I could tell Maggie that I finally trusted Christ as my Savior.
Don't worry, Mr. Fitz. She knows.
What do you mean?
Well, the angels have been celebrating for at least 5 minutes in heaven by now.
How do you know that?
The Bible says in Luke that there is joy in heaven over just one sinner who repents. So, when you repented and accepted Jesus as your Savior, the angels in heaven celebrated. And I'm sure Maggie heard. Can you imagine how loud an angel celebration is? Mr. Fitz, are you crying?
I'm just so happy.
Does this mean I can bring the rest of my Christmas decorations over?
Yes, you can bring over anything you want, especially those shepherds.
You know, Mr. Fitz, you're kind of like one of those shepherds, because you heard about Jesus at Christmas time.
And you found him at Christmas time.
And because I was one of the least deserving of people to see the Savior, yet he still sought me. Lizzie, I want you to tell me the story of Christmas one more time. Only this time, don't leave anything out.
Yeah.
Thank you, choir. Thank you, those who are acting at Cantata. So grateful for them and their efforts. We're grateful for you being here tonight. And this is the second time that I had the opportunity to experience the Cantata. Once was one of the rehearsals, and of course again tonight. And I do have an outline here. I'm just not sure if I'm going to use it or not. Just some things come to my heart and my mind while I was listening and observing the choir tonight and our Cantata actors. And, you know, we live in a time today that so many things have become confrontational. And it's wonderful to see the acting out and what was taking place tonight. As young Lizzie and his mother, no matter how Dr. Fitz responded, it was still with a smile and with joy. Because it's what Christ does to a person's life. And that should, what it should do to a person's life. And I think as a country and as a church, we need to get back to the basics in so many different things of our life. We here at Harvest Baptist Church, we're not a big church. We've got beautiful facilities. God has blessed us. But we are a conservative church. We are a church who believes in getting to the basics, that we don't need to spit and to polish and this shiny stuff to attract people. It's the word of God and ministering to others is what is needed today in our country. What is needed today in our society is preaching the word without apology, presenting the truth, and even though people may not receive it at first, we just smile and love on them anyway. We just smile and continue to go back and do what we can, not watering down the truth, not changing things to get their appeasal or attention, but just presenting the truth, because the Bible does say that the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. That's what makes a difference. So with that in mind, I'd like to read a very basic verse of scripture and share a few thoughts with you tonight and maybe ad-lib a little bit from what the Lord has spoken to my heart about tonight. But the book of Matthew, chapter 1 and verse 18, the Bible says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit." Father, bless the reading of your word and help me tonight. There's so much emotion and joy that's dwelling up within me tonight. And so proud and so honored to be called pastor of these wonderful people tonight that just presented this story. And Lord, I pray that you'd help me and portray a few things myself tonight and share my heart for those that are listening. And I pray there's anyone here that is bitter, that they would get that resolved as Dr. Fitz did. And anyone here tonight that doesn't know you as well would may ask questions and come to know the Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. This text that I've read gives us some important information and facts about Christmas. We've lived in a world here today over the last several years where comments were made about facts. Follow the science, do this, do that. When so often they're really missing the whole point of what the truth is and not what man may say or commercialized things may say, but truth. And dear friends, as a believer and as a church, our truth is found in Scripture, the Word of God. And we, no matter what the world may think or receive, we're still going to go back to Scripture and what the Bible says, because that is our truth. That is our science. That is our evidence in the Bible. First, just two things tonight. First of all, the verifying of the facts. The Bible says the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. See, the facts about Christmas are really messed up by the unbelieving world that we live in. But we can read them in the Bible and know the correct reason for why we celebrate and have Christmas. The wise or the way or the wise way is not how the world tells it, but it is the way that Christmas actually happens. See, we need to read the Bible to know how things really were. The liberal news media tries to convince us that what they say is the wise or is the wise way about things, but the facts do not support the liberal news media. It does not support other things. The facts, however, support the Bible. So often we want to look up and find our facts and then find things to support it instead of looking to the Word and allow it to support what is truth, the verifying of the facts. And then secondly, which this one's a little bit longer, the virgin birth in the facts. She was found with child of the Holy Spirit. See, the virgin birth of Jesus Christ is one of the important facts about Christmas. Christ was uniquely conceived in Mary. And this is the, in principle, illustrates at least three important truths about a person when they become saved and when they come to know Christ as Savior and he comes to dwell in their heart in gospel salvation. Notice a few things in reference to these facts. The awareness of the indwelling of Christ. She was found with child, our verse says. That says Mary's pregnancy showed. It was evidence. You cannot conceal pregnancy for long, for soon it does begin to show. Others notice, and so it is when a person is saved. When Christ is received as Savior, it shows. It should show in the life of the believer. People are aware that Christ dwells in you. At least they should be aware. Young Lizzie, without a doubt, was joyful and optimistic no matter what Dr. Fitz said. She would turn it around to joy and the goodness of knowing the Lord. And as Christians, we should have that same evidence. Just as the evidence of young Mary being with child showed, we as believers should show that something that indwells within us. Some claim to be saved, and if they did not tell us, we would maybe never know it. And that's not a life that a true believer should live. Dear friend, if you are truly saved, if Christ dwells within your heart, it will be very evident. People will not have to ask you if you are saved. They will know by your life that you are saved, that you are a follower of Christ, that Christ, the Spirit of God, indwells within you. Yes, the awareness of the indwelling Christ. And then the disapproval of the indwelling Christ. The Bible says that Mary was espoused to Joseph. When Joseph found out that this young girl that he was engaged to or betrothed to was pregnant, he decided to end the engagement. But the Bible tells us a little bit later in our text in verse 20 of chapter 1 of Matthew, it was only through the word from the angel of the Lord that kept Joseph engaged to Mary. Her pregnancy was more than he could take, it would appear, but disapproval for Mary came to Joseph because Christ dwelled in her. So it is with the new convert. He will soon discover that not everyone is happy about his salvation. Some will mock, some will reject. And dear friends, if Christ is dwelling with you, others may mock, some may give a little bit of attack. And I just enjoyed the drama tonight, even though that Dr. Fitz had some negative things to say, Lizzie just smiled and responded in another way. And as believers, that's how our life should be. We should not allow what others think in us to change the indwelling Spirit of God in our life. Let Christ live in and through us. Let him show himself strong. And those others may mock and others may attack, we can respond in love and not in kind. The awareness of the indwelling Christ. Though there was a disapproval from the indwelling Christ, and those will disapprove of us when we live out our life for Christ. But then lastly, the change from the indwelling Christ, when as his mother Mary. Christ dwelling in Mary completely changed her life. It is hard to imagine what a great change occurred when she conceived Christ. Things were never the same after that. So it is when a person trusts Christ as their personal Savior. The change in the life is great. The change in destiny is the greatest change, becoming a Christian. Instead of hell, eternal destiny is now heaven with Christ. These saved people, those that are saved young in life, will experience a change in lifestyle from what they could have or may have been. Those saved later in life can see dramatic changes. The Bible tells us in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7 that there is a present change in lifestyle. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Dear friend, tonight, have you experienced the Christmas facts as they are according to Scripture? Do others see the changes that have taken place in your life? I'd like to challenge you and encourage you. If you've put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, don't be ashamed. Don't hold back. Live out your life. We don't have to be what we might say Christian, ugly, and obnoxious, but we sure can smile like young Lizzie and her mother. We can sure be optimistic about the goodness of the Lord. We can allow Christ to live and dwell in us that others may see and recognize the difference. So, have you experienced the Christmas facts? Do you know that you know that you know that you're saved and on your way to heaven? If you know that you're saved, I rejoice with you. And in a few moments, we'll dismiss and have a time of fellowship, a cookie fellowship over in the fellowship hall, have an opportunity to talk to our choir and those who are involved in the drama and congratulate them and just have a wonderful time of fellowship centered around the birth of Christ, centered around of knowing Christ as our personal Savior. But if you're here today and you have some reservations, you have some doubts, you're not sure about this thing of salvation, you're not sure about the Word of God, let me encourage you and I'll help you to understand. If you'll accept the Bible as God's Word, as fact and not fiction, as truth without error, you will see and begin to realize that your need for Christ and why Christ came, why He lived, and why He died, that we might have eternal life. I would encourage you tonight, if you don't know for sure that you're saved, first of all, recognize for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9, the Bible says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Yes, it is that simple. No, it's not something that has to be dynamic or big or huge shifts and changes and the world will move. No, it's simply putting your faith and trust in Christ because you realize you're a sinner and why He came and why He died. But if you're here today, as I mentioned, you do know, let me once again challenge you to live out your faith. Live out your faith in love and in joy that people may see the difference in your life. With heads are bowed and eyes are closed just for a moment, and in a moment we'll have a word of prayer and our choir will come down and we'll have a few announcements as a church before we dismiss and take up our evening offering that we traditionally do on Sunday. But with heads bowed and eyes are closed, and no one's looking around, I really want to pray for you. I will not come to you in any way, but maybe you're here tonight and you just simply raise your hand and say, Pastor, I've enjoyed the cantata tonight. I heard the Christmas story, but I've got some questions. You know, I'm just not sure that I'm saved, and I'm not sure that I'm ready to take the Bible as facts, but I'm considering it. I'm thinking about it, and I would appreciate if you just pray for me that the Lord would show Himself strong, because I'm just not sure that I'm saved or know the Savior. If you're like that tonight, I promise I won't come to you. No one's looking, but I sure would love to pray for you. Would you just slip your hand up and down and say, pray for me. I'm considering this Christmas story. Anyone at all? Then I will assume tonight by the raised hands that either folks are not interested or others just know Christ as their personal Savior, which I rejoice in that. Maybe you're here today before we pray and you are a believer. Again, my final question before we pray, are you living out your life for Christ? Are you allowing Him to show in your life? Father, we love you and are so grateful for the privilege and opportunity to be here tonight, for the hard work of our choir and our drama team, Lord, and for their dedication over these last several works in rehearsal. We thank you for them. We pray the word will continue to speak to the hearts of your people, and thank you for the privilege of being able to minister unto others here in our community. And I pray that we have been a blessing and a source of encouragement. Now, Father, bless us as we prepare to move forward in our service. May you be glorified in all that is said and done. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll ask the choir if they don't mind if they would go ahead and come down. And ushers, if you'll get ready as I prepare just for a couple of announcements. And we'll take up our evening offering. Choir, and you may come down. I don't have my notes. I don't know. Did my announcements get put over here? As our choir comes down, just a couple of reminders of announcements. So glad you're here this evening. Don't forget, gentlemen, on Tuesday morning, we have our men's coffee fellowship. If you're with us here tonight and you would like to have a free cup of coffee and some donuts and don't mind listening to some guys talk about things about the Bible, you're welcome to join us on Tuesday mornings at 8:30. And our discussion Tuesday morning is Revelations chapter 1 and verse 3. Revelations chapter 1 and verse 3. With a thought in mind, what time is it? That's for Tuesday morning. And of course, Wednesday night, we have our midweek Bible study and prayer time right here at the church at 6:30. And then next Sunday is Mission Sunday at Harvest Baptist Church. We'll have a missionary in the morning. We'll have a missionary in the evening. One is involved in helping struggling churches to keep together and to find a pastor that's been struggling without a pastor. And the other missionary is from South Africa, Brother Frausto. Looking forward to having him with us. That is next Sunday. Our offering tonight will go toward our missionaries, as well as offerings next Sunday morning and Sunday night that's not designated as your regular tithes and offering will go toward our missionaries. And that is next Sunday. And then also we have a Christmas Eve service on the 24th and also a New Year's Eve service on the 31st. Several of our men will share some things on their heart on that night. We have three or four men. And I mentioned this morning teasing some of our men. We had 2.5 and now we have 4 men that have volunteered to do that. So we're looking forward to that. And that is on New Year's Eve. And then we'll also have a time of food and fellowship and games in the fellowship hall on New Year's Eve. And so we look forward to that. Those of you who are visiting with us once again tonight, thank you for joining us tonight. You are honored guests, and I do trust you will join us after we dismiss here in a few moments for a time of fellowship over in the fellowship hall. Brother Draper. Okay, we got some ushers tonight. Good. Brother Draper, if you'd ask God's blessing upon our offering tonight, sir.
Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the greatest story ever told.
Yes.
Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your Son, that we're able to bring our prayers to you through him, through his sacrifice. Thank you for the blessings of our church presented tonight. Lord, we pray that it brought glory and honor to you.
Yes.
And part of our ministry, our service, is giving back to you what you have so bountifully blessed us with. We pray that you'd accept this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I do want to encourage you to make your way over to the fellowship hall for a time of cookie fellowship. We'll have a word of prayer now, so you can go over. I'm assuming, Michelle, do you believe everything is set up and ready over there? Do you just make your way over? And I know it's easy to stand around in the foyer auditorium to talk, but if you want to encourage you to move your way over there and fellowship there in the fellowship hall and enjoy the time together as a church. I want to ask some of the men, those that helped earlier, if we could, before you head over and get the pulpit back where it needs to go, and that some of these chairs back before we take off, especially the heavy stuff in the table, that would be greatly appreciated. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer, and then we'll be dismissed for a time of fellowship. Father, once again, we thank you for the privilege of being here tonight. Thank you for those who labored this past week, and Lord, in preparation for in the months and weeks and for this cantata, and those who labored for the cookie fellowship and desserts. Lord, I pray that you would bless our time of fellowship. May you be uplifted through our conversation. And Lord, again, we just praise you and thank you for the facilities you've given us, the folks that you've given us, and for the privilege to serve and to minister to folks in our community. I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to continue to reach out, continue to love, and continue to allow Christ to be showed in our life. Now, Father, dismiss us with your love, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, as always, God loves you, his preacher loves you. If I can be helped in any way, please do not hesitate to ask. God bless you. You can be dismissed. Gentlemen, if you would help with the heavy lifting, please.